Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, the host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, a show that mixes history, culture, famous people, and booze, and shakes it like a mojito from hell. I could spend days talking about all the amazing guests we've had on the show, but they're only giving me a few seconds. So here's a few. Nick Jonas, Steven Soderbergh, Allison Janney, Pitbull, Christy Brinkley, Matthew McConaughey, Dan Aykroyd, and Tiffany Thiessen. Oh, and then there's the time Bryan Cranston and I discussed the drinking habits of his most iconic characters. Dr. Tim Whatley, Seinfeld.
Dr. Tim Whatley, he'd have something like a vodka tonic with a little squeeze of lime or something like that, I think. He would stay away from anything that would stain the teeth like red wine.
I also tell you about new stuff to drink, trends, recipes, and other boozy things you ought to know. It's called What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. Thrillist calls it America's best boozy podcast, and my mother calls it proof she failed me. But what does she know? She doesn't even drink.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
You gotta get all the food. I was like, I was gonna walk down to some place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like a couple blocks from Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
You know Nashville well enough, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Broadway's kind of like their Times Square.
It's a hellscape.
Yeah, it really is.
It's what a godless land. Of all the people where, you know, you see somebody out there like, you need to find Jesus. I'm like, this section could use that. This part of town could use one of those guys.
There's a few gems. There's a few gems on Broadway. Robert's Western World is my favorite spot on Broadway. That's a good time.
Is that a bar?
It's a bar, and they have, well, it's like all those spots there on Broadway, basically what they would call a honky tonk, so live country music most of the day. But Robert's Western World, I don't know if they still have it, but they used to have the recession special where you could get a fried bologna sandwich, a bag of chips, and a PBR for like $4.50, something like that.
I think you had told me about that. Yeah. Somebody else was saying like that's the one spot because I was finishing the shows last night, and I was like, I'm probably not going to make a trip somewhere special, but if I wanted to hang out downtown, where would you go? And they're like, really nowhere, but Robert's West. Yeah, that place came up.
Yeah, that place is fun. And then not on Broadway, a few miles, I forget in which direction, but not downtown, but there's a place called Santa's Pub, which I don't know if they're still in business after COVID, but a double wide trailer turned into a dive bar.
That, and somebody brought that up to me too, yeah.
Love that spot.
I'll get into it. Rachel's getting here today, so now we're gonna be tourists for a while. But last night I went down to Broadway, past whatever Kid Rock's butt fucking bourbon and blues house or whatever it's called.
Yeah, that fucking monstrosity.
But the whole, I mean, every town has this tourist section, but it was tried to find, like, I just wanted to go to a place with no lines or anything. It was like midnight when I got back to the hotel. Found whatever Tin Roof or something, and there was like a rock band playing downstairs. I'm like, I'll go watch a cover band. I live music is fine, whatever. But good God, what, like, they're playing Jeremy by Pearl Jam, which is just a great rockin' party tune about school shootings. Fucking white girls doing the Amber Waves of Grain sway to Jeremy. Just sloppy. Just fucking sloppy. One girl, I'm just sitting at the bar by myself. She gets it. I point out that she dropped her wallet. She bought me a Bud Light and then told me to watch her sandals so she could go dance to they were now covering Rage Against the Machine.
That because that's what you want
to watch your flops.
To.
Yeah, I had to watch your flops when she went for that.
The cut loose with political rap rock. That's my dance.
I was laughing to myself so hard at like everybody just raging against the machine while simultaneously totally loving the machine, being in the machine.
And, man.
It was something to behold. Just, I'm trying to think of like the drunkest places I've been. This might be one of the spots.
Really?
As far as a crowd, not a holiday or anything, just a mm-hmm. Friday night.
Yeah.
I guess it's the bachelorette party capital, which is enough of a reason to bomb the city.
No thanks. Well, somebody did try to bomb the city last year.
They didn't do a good enough job. Yeah. That's just being shitty. I just haven't been out to East Nashville yet, and the shows have been good. Mm-hmm. But like there's tractors pulling trailers of bachelorette parties. So these I was making a joke. I'm like, these skanks are actually job creators. You know, this guy, it's been a drought, and that alfalfa crop isn't coming in, but I get all this trailer full of sluts around town. I shouldn't. Just the woo girls, just the woo girls all day. Just trailers full of woo girls being carried around town.
Yeah. Yeah, that's obnoxious, but
I'm in the spot for it though. I wouldn't have chosen to be here, so this is what happens here in this part of town.
Yeah, that's where people go to woo. That's the woo district.
It is very much the woo district. A lot of woo, a lot of either beach partiers, like just fly. I went out in my Crocs last night. I'm like, I don't even need shoes for this kind of Friday night. I don't give a shit. But it's a lot of either like Salt Life flip flop bros dudes that I was worried were going to slip on their own chaw spit. A lot of that. Those are the looks.
Yeah. That's just Broadway. There are definitely other parts of town that are pretty cool. Yeah, East Nashville.
I know. I just need to, as a sociological research, I needed to go down there last night.
Yeah. Did you dip into the Kid Rock's butt-fucking blues bar? Or?
No. Too much of a line.
Yeah.
Too much of a line. Apparently a great tipper, though. Everybody says if he comes to the comedy club, he's a great tipper.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of a bar I'd less enjoy than anything associated with Kid Rock, and not even him personally. Even though I'm sure, you know, I don't know, you know, just the crowd he attracts. Not my scene.
No, well, that's a whole downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll check out the, what is it, Bob's Western World, Robert's Western World,
Robert's Western World. Yeah,
Robert's. Maybe we'll see during the day tomorrow.
Yeah. I really enjoy that place. That's the place where I had a 9-hour bus layover, and I spent all 9 hours at Roberts. I was taking a bus from Indianapolis to Atlanta, and the bus left Indianapolis around 4 a.m. We got to Nashville around 6 or 7 a.m., and this was in January. It was cold as shit, and it was raining, and I had like 4 or 5 p.m. Until 4 or 5 p.m. to kill to catch the bus from Nashville to Atlanta. And it's like, well, I'm not going to get a hotel room just for the day, just for daytime. And so just planted myself at Roberts and drank a bunch of bottled Coors and watched these old dudes play Johnny Cash and Billy Joe Shaver covers. It's a pretty good way to kill a day.
That is a country song in itself, a bus layover in Nashville.
Yep,
but it's been good so far, man. I know we got to get to the other parts of town that might be more of my liking. But it's what's happening down here. The people seem to be having a good time.
Yeah.
Didn't really see any for that many drunk people. I always kind of assumed there would be more fights, and I really didn't see any. There was one of the bar I was at last night, so I'm sitting there and. there's the rock band. All of a sudden, this fucking group of dudes came in. And I don't know if they just, like, they became friends because of their size, or if they were, like, special forces or a football team or something. But these giant milk-fed country motherfuckers were in there. All of them, just huge. I'm a little man. And I almost, I'm drunk enough to just be like, God damn, look at you.
Can I touch you?
Jesus. Come on, you're not. I'm not insulting at all. You're just an impressive individual, and they were all there. And then Rage Against the Machine came on, and then they started to go down to dance. I'm like, oh no, boys, no. But they understood their size. They were like a bunch of big dogs around little kids. They understood.
How would you dance to Rage?
They were kind of. It was like a very. It looked very much like when like. In a movie or a TV show, they tell people to mosh.
Yeah.
So there's only about like 15 people kind of just jumping up and down, headbanging.
Mm-hmm.
But so that, and then this other table came in, and I was, you know, very curious, like, okay, it's like a table full of like Middle Eastern or Indian guys. And now, look, there's either country music or there's rock music, and I'm, you know, little liberal Kyle sitting there like, I hope they're nice to these Indian fellas. And they're rocking out. And then a little guy, a little white dude, all of a sudden I just see him. He's got some bottle of like some pink liquor. And he's just pouring it in all their mouths going, yeah. And they're loving it. And all of a sudden the bartender's like, what the fuck? And he just stole a bottle of liquor from behind the bar and decided to just give it to those dudes. And then I thought the bartenders were going to beat that guy up. They were just like, now you got to buy that whole bottle of liquor, which I'm guessing was probably about $13 at a liquor store, but $150 at this bar.
Wow.
And he was like, fine. And he paid for it. And then they laughed. And then the bartenders, because they thought the Middle Eastern or Indian guys were in on it. And they're like, we don't even know that guy. And then the bartender was laughing with them. He's like, okay. And it was like, I was like, ah, this is everybody having a fun time. And then I saw the little guy outside. I was like, I just gave him a fist bump. I'm like, I did think that was pretty hilarious.
That is funny.
I'm stealing booze, but the shitty booze.
Yeah. Jeez.
And I'm just going to give it to these guys.
I've never had the balls to try that move. I like that, though.
This kid was just like, I'm going wild. I'm going for it. Grabbed it. And it was right in front of the bar, too. Like, right in front of the bar. The bartenders were right there. I think he got about, poured it into about two guys' mouths before they caught him. But those guys were like, no, we don't know who that guy is. We just got here and sat down, and we thought he worked here.
Oh, man. That's great.
And, that was pretty fun to watch. I had a pretty fun night out by myself.
That's fun. I like that, especially, you know, when you're out on the road by yourself or whatever. Just go out and have a night to yourself in public, you know, just people watch.
I already did all my talking for the night.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what other people are getting into.
Yeah, especially a place like Nashville where there is so much great people watching. I mean, regardless of what you think of Lower Broadway, it's definitely a fun sociological experiment to witness.
Yeah. And like I said, it did seem like more people were getting, I mean, it was sloppy drunk, but not really fights. Like, you think Hollywood, I always think, like, people fighting and everything and real shitty. But
Southerners have decent manners, even when we're drunk.
It did seem like that.
You know, sometimes it rains on your birthday, sometimes the line for coffee wraps around the building, sometimes gas goes up 10 cents a gallon, sometimes life stinks. The good news? You don't have to. Because Native has your back. Native cares. They're about stopping the stink the right way. That's the Native difference. You probably already know about Native's legendary aluminum-free deodorant, but have you tried their body wash, their toothpaste? They also have mineral-based sunscreen. Yes, Native now has broad-spectrum SPF 30 sunscreen for your face and your body. It's lightweight, absorbs quickly, and you can choose between unscented or coconut and pineapple. Native's on a mission to overhaul your entire hygiene routine by putting the care back in self-care with products carefully made to work against odor that are made with simple ingredients and smell great. You can get their deodorant or body wash in amazing scents like coconut and vanilla, citrus and herbal musk, lavender and rose, and many more. You can even build your own personalized product bundles, mix and match three of your favorite scents and keep them on rotation so you have something for every occasion. Stay fresh, stay clean with Native by going to nativedo.com/boogie or use promo code boogie at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's Native D-E-O, short for deodorant, nativedeo.com/boogie or use promo code boogie at checkout for 20% off your first order. One more time, nativedeo.com/boogie. Hey, what's up? It's me, Dave. Let's talk about Canva Pro. Canva Pro is the easy-to-use design platform that has everything you need to design like a pro. Whether you're a professional designer or just getting started, Canva Pro can help boost you and your team's productivity and creativity. It's a quick, easy, and affordable way to design whatever you need. No matter what you're creating or sharing, Canva Pro has everything you need in one place, including a collection of over 75 million premium photos, videos, audio, and graphics. Plus, Canva Pro comes with time-saving tools that simplify and speed up the creative process. You get all this and more in just one Canva Pro subscription. There's no idea too big or too small for Canva Pro. All right, here's what you do. Design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use our promo code. Just go to canva.me/boogie to get your free 45-day extended trial. That's C-A-N-V-A, canva.me/boogie. canva.me/boogie. How are the shows? How are they going?
They're good. We're getting there, man.
Yeah.
We're getting there. We're getting this hour together. Some of it's clunky. Some of it's a little darker material, I think. More off-brand for your boy. I think people are like, like, okay, all right. This is a lot of can't keep hammering this dark shit. Got to bring a little livelihood to it. But we're working on it, man. That's, like everybody knows, haven't been able to practice for a long time.
Yeah. Yep. It's a weird situation we're all in. But
what you doing, dude? What's your life about? Break it down for me.
Dude went, rode some go-karts the other day. That was exciting.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you go? K1?
Went to K1 in Gardena, basically Compton. So that was fun. Yeah. And ate some Korean barbecue. Katie's nephew, great young dude, Jack, just turned 16 years old. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking, like, what's he want to do? And we just kind of rolled the dice and was like, Korean barbecue and go-karts. And he was like, I'm into it. So probably should have reversed the order. We did Korean barbecue first. Ooh. And just really, really tried to drive them out of business. I don't know what we were doing. We were on a mission. We went in there with a chip on our shoulder, and really threw down. And then 20 minutes after we finished eating, now we're riding go-karts. And
put the clothes sign up. You're closed now.
Yeah,
that's how much I'm going to eat here. You're closed for the night.
Oh, we threw down. It was him and his brother who's older than David is like 18 or 19, and he's a college football player, and so he's gigantic, and Jack is gigantic. They're just a big family, like a bunch of Vikings, and so between the four of us, we really put it away, and like every time the guy would try to bring the check, we're like, oh, we need one more order of pork belly, and we kept ordering, and really proved what we were made of at the Korean barbecue. Went to Parks, my favorite, up in Koreatown.
Okay.
Just insane how good that place is. And then rode go-karts, and I came in dead last. And I think it was a physics thing. I think I was just carrying too much weight in my car. So I had too much cargo.
Like we're saying, those go-karts is like a jockey. You need to – the cart's built. It's balanced. put any person in there, all of a sudden you got to adjust, you got to account for that. I wonder if NASCAR drivers are little guys.
I think most of them are. I think that definitely is a factor. Same way, you know, it's the same science as a jockey and a horse, right? All those jockeys are real tiny for that reason.
But, I mean, it's like a car. Like, think of how much horsepower is in a car.
That's true. That's true. You wouldn't think, like, an extra 30 or 40 pounds, you know, would matter with all that horsepower. But now that I think of it, I mean, not that I'm a big NASCAR guy, but I can't remember seeing, like, either a super tall or super thick NASCAR driver. They're all average to small.
It's because they got to get in and out through the window.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be a big fat guy get in and out through the window.
That's true. Get stuck. So, but yeah, that's fun. Had rode go-karts. Probably the last time I rode go-karts was you and I 10 years ago, drunk as hell in Roswell, Georgia, after shows.
Oh, man.
That was
fun. Yeah, that's when I was bombing in Roswell and would ride go-karts sad and drunk.
Man, you know what's nuts, too, though? Riding those go-karts, just balls to the wall. And then as soon as we were done, we didn't really hang out or anything. It was just like, all right, we're done. Everybody get back in the car. We're going to go home. And those first few seconds of driving an actual car after the go-karts, like, it really was such a weird sensation. And I got a little vertigo. Yeah. I got a little motion sickness. Thought I was going to puke.
Got a crazy siren going on out here.
Uh-oh. Where are you at? You in your hotel?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go look out the window. I can see what's going on. First person account. It's a fire truck. Normally the siren goes in and out. This one's just... like it sounds like it's in the building.
Huh.
Is my hotel on fire? Oh, no, it went away. All right.
We had a fire truck drive by here last night, and the siren, it was something I've never heard before. The siren, like, held the note for way
too
long.
That's what this one's doing.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a new thing that they're doing, but, like, it was so weird. It was, like, because it was doing the traditional, you know, pattern, but then
yeah, it's
one...
Yeah, wee-oo, and then it just goes wee. This one's just going wee.
Yeah. It held the note, like, way too long. I was like,
oh. That's because they're countering because they know the woo girls are going to drive by and supplement the tone. They're going to harmonize. They're going to come in, woo! But, yeah, that's what this one's doing. It's like it's broken or something. But they, it's crazy. I mean, there has been, like, cops tearing through. I don't know if it's like this street is kind of a cut-through street that the hotel's on, but they're tearing down there knowing that this is a busy tourist area. Like, this is pretty gnarly. You know, you got drunks and you're still, like, just flying down these streets.
Yeah, get out of the way.
So, yeah, it's pretty wild.
Dude, I wanted to throw this at you real quick, a compliment. I saw a picture of one of your shows, maybe Little Rock, Fayetteville or Little Rock.
Yeah.
Were you wearing your coveralls on stage?
Oh, yeah, dude. That's my tour outfit.
Dude.
I'm wearing them for every show.
I'm so proud of you. What a fun on-stage look. You're just going full tilt.
It's my get-back-to-work outfit.
I used to really admire Sam Talent's wardrobe choice I get overalls and coveralls confused. So you're wearing coveralls because they cover all of it. I don't know if that works.
Yeah. No, they are coveralls.
So Sam used to rock the overalls, which I thought was pretty rad.
Yeah,
but you've gone one step further, and you're rocking the coveralls on stage. You look like a damn, like you're in a NASCAR pit crew. I love it.
Yeah, Chris Pierce called me. I didn't realize that's what Slipknot wore.
Yeah, they all wore a bunch of jumpsuits and overalls, coveralls.
Yeah. That's my get back to work outfit. Takes the guesswork out of what outfit I got. I got limited room in the van for clothes. I was like, I'm going to bring these coveralls. Now, during a heat wave, not a great choice.
Yeah. Oof.
And I played Little Rock, and it was the air conditioning was out at Vino's.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was a sluggish one. Rachel just texted me. She's flying here, and she just texted me. Someone just called the gate agent a bitch. She's getting kicked off. I'm like, all right. Well, that's what happens. That's what happens in the airport.
Oh, man. So she's coming in today. You guys just going to fart around Tennessee this week?
Well, yeah. Okay, so she gets in. She'll get in tonight. I'll be at the club, but I don't know if she's going to come over there. I want to just rest after flying. But so tomorrow we got Nashville, and we're just going to hang around, maybe do a little day drinking. Don't have a show. So it'll be nice to just kick it and see her. I want to get down to this Gibson garage thing they got here, like Gibson guitar showroom. I might do that after we record. I don't know if that's her interest. But then, so we're going to Memphis because I got a show in Memphis on Tuesday. And so I got us tickets for Graceland.
Nice.
And then I was trying to get us a place to stay. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, there's like this guest suite at Graceland, which is like a new building that's just across the street from Graceland. But that booked up. And I was like, well, maybe the Peabody Hotel where the little ducks come through the lobby. Because who didn't like seeing little ducks on a schedule? who don't like little punctual ducks?
Yeah.
That was booked up. So I got us a room at the Bass Pro Shops Pyramid.
Oh, man.
It's an interior suite, so we have a balcony that looks out over all the taxidermied wonder that is a Bass Pro Shop.
I always see that big pyramid when I'm driving into Memphis. I never thought to go in and check it out. So that I just thought it was a huge Bass Pro Shop, but it's also a hotel.
I had heard it was the basketball stadium or something.
Uh-huh.
And then that went out. Now it's a Bass Pro Shop. And so there's going to be a lot of stuffed pheasant right outside our room.
Oh, man.
In my head, it's going to be like being in like a Disney ride or something. I don't know if that's exactly what will happen, but we're going for it.
I wonder if the sheets and the curtains are camouflage.
It is a hunting lodge themed suite. There is also taxidermied animals in the room, which I don't know about Rachel's allergies. I don't know if it's only when the animal's alive that it affects her, but we're gonna find out. So I hope she packs some Benadryl.
Oh man, that's funny.
That's
where
we're staying.
That is funny.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be pretty cool. I was excited when that one came through. I was like, I think I like this one better than the other options I was trying first.
Yeah.
Pack your bags, toots. We're staying at the BPS in Memphis.
Oh boy.
First a tribute to Egyptian kings and queens, now a tribute to savings on ammo and gun accessories.
Oh man. I do like a good Bass Pro Shop.
Love them.
Got some cool stuff in there. I've bought some slingshots and BB guns and camping chairs and all kinds of shit from there. I don't think they have them out here. I guess out here it's more Cabela's. And I don't know if that's the same company.
Same thing, yeah.
So that's like a Carl's Jr. Hardee's thing?
Yeah. Bass Pro Shop is just like an REI that doesn't want to put up with any of your queer shit.
Oh my god. Good times, buddy. So all the other shows, let's see, since we last talked, you were in Walmart, Arkansas.
I was in Walmart, Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was at old Raj Suresh's spot. Was kind enough to put me up the whole time during a heat wave.
That's nice.
Yeah, the van seems to be stable, not working ideally, but I think it's holding a charge. So we're fingers crossed there. I'll probably be in it living and camp. I just don't know. There's this nationwide heat wave that's going on that's making the news.
Yeah. It's hot out here.
Everywhere except places I live. Oregon, beautiful. 70 degrees. Mm. Great time. LA, 70 degrees. Excellent. Vegas was 116, I think. And then here's like 90, what have you. And once Rachel will leave next week, and I'll just be out in Indiana. doing who knows what. I don't know if there are a lot of bike rides in Indiana.
I'm trying
to find them.
Did you get rad this week at all?
I did get rad. Did we talk about? Yeah, when we recorded on Monday, I think.
Yeah, we're recording on Saturday this week for the listeners.
This is Saturday. We got a little truncated schedule. Mm-hmm. I did get out. I got out Tuesday, and finally I was like, it doesn't matter if it's hot. I got to ride all these spots, and mm-hmm. I did, and they were. You know what? I finally felt rad. The before I was riding, didn't feel rad. Did not feel rad. Tuesday, I felt kind of rad.
That's good, buddy.
I was getting my feet underneath me.
You deserve to feel rad.
After the gallons of Bud Light I've been drinking every day. Oh, feeling rough. Feeling rough, dog.
What day are you on now? You've been away from home now for, seems like, almost a month.
I'm probably at 3 weeks.
Wow. Yeah, that's about the time when I start to get fatigued on the road. Like, 3 weeks is like, okay, I'm kind of ready to go home now.
Yeah, because you're like, I'm having, you know, you start by having fun, and then you kind of feel this obligation to just keep going with the drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I left. When the shit was it? Well, like the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the 29th, yeah.
Yeah.
I got another 3 weeks or so.
Still. Wow.
But, yeah, you know, it's just, it where's your dad? Like this, oh, I guess I'm drinking beer. And you're not really getting drunk. You're just drinking a bunch of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's knocking me off my game a little bit. Not to say I should stop drinking. But maybe I got to switch to a nice, easygoing cocktail, not be filled up with liquids so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, so. You know, take it easy. Drink some hard liquor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One cocktail will get you to the same place as 4 or 5 beers
mm-hmm.
without feeling like a half-full carafe on a waiter's tray being sloshed around.
Yeah, that's the thing with beer. I get so bloated so quick with beer. Like, I have like 2 or 3, and I feel awful.
I'll say this about Nashville, man. These bartenders, they got it figured out.
Yeah, how so?
Just hustle.
Really?
Like, you got this many people and this many drinks, and they're just good about it. Like, dude, today I thought it was one of those, like, all right, what do you have? I was just getting lunch. But he's like, I'm listening. He's halfway down the bar, still getting other people drinks. I'm like, okay, I told him what I want. Boom, got it.
Yeah.
Like, food, drink, everything. Like, they work, man.
I like that. That's why I like Waffle House so much. People make fun of Waffle House and Waffle House employees, but... Man, if I had a small business or any business and I was looking to hire people, if I saw Waffle House on your resume, you're hired.
Those people. Even the trench warfare of Waffle House.
Man, they can multitask. Multitask, man. Those Waffle House folks know what's up.
Well, we did get a Waffle House after a night of drinking where we were in Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chris? We were the only. Yeah, it was me, Chris, Raj. And the fella that opened, Russ, and it was...
I bet Chris can bring the damage to a Waffle House. That guy can put it away, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. He's like power lifter. Like, they came out with, like, a wrong plate or something. I'm like, leave it. He'll eat it. Look at this. Fucking moose in a death metal t-shirt here. He can't even wear sleeves anymore. He's like, I can't wear shirts. Nothing fits me with sleeves. He's that big.
What a problem to have.
Yeah.
My arms are too big.
Raj is Indian, and Chris looks like Chris. Russ is like got like big curly hair like Weird Al. And it was just we're the only ones in there, and it's Chris Pierce just saying, Raj, so why do you hate freedom? Explain to me why you hate freedom. And it was a pretty good night. And it was poor. It was just two people in there and one kid. It seemed like it was his first day, and just... You asked for, like, any question about the menu, and he was just like, I don't know.
Aw.
The poor kid getting thrown to the wolves right away.
Oh, man.
But it was a good time, yeah. We Waffle House'd it. I have not had any good food in there. I've had two microwave DiGiorno pizzas in my hotel because every time I get back, there's no food left.
Oh, you just get it from the little grab-and-go station at the
yeah,
hotel
I just
lobby.
Like, just soak up my sins, DiGiorno. Soak them up.
Oh, man.
Absolve me of my sins.
Oh man, I gotta get back on the road just to get some Waffle House.
Yeah, no Waffle House in California.
No.
Got a Huddle House over there?
I don't think so. Huddle House is a inferior knockoff anyway. I wouldn't get too excited about Huddle House.
Yeah, really lacks the quality of a Waffle House.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you see that thing online where the guy lost his fantasy football, mm-mm, whatever it is, tournament, and his punishment was he had to spend 24 hours in a Waffle House, but for every waffle he ate, they'd take off an hour?
Oh, okay.
Well, tells me you'd only be in there 20 minutes.
I'd be in and out within the hour.
Yeah. They've actually ate 2 days worth of waffles.
Mm-hmm. Man, I do love waffles. Get that scattered, smothered, covered. The steak and eggs, the New York strip, I know that it's not good. It's not. No one would confuse it with a good steak, but it's a fun steak. It's a good time. It's thin. There's always a nice little fat on there. You just eat it real quick. A little steak and eggs, scattered, smothered, covered, maybe a pecan waffle. Oh, boy.
Isn't that a Rodney Dangerfield thing? This thing still got marks from when the jockey was hitting it.
Oh, man. I do miss, like, there's just nothing out here. I mean, there's diners, but, like, Waffle House, it's always open. It's always consistent. It's affordably priced. Like, it's just, it's a safe haven. It's no matter what's going on in your life, you can always pull into a Waffle House. They're happy to see you. Like I said, you know, the staff is excellent.
Dave's little cholesterol church.
Oh, man. I miss it so much. I used to go there for lunch on my lunch break just by myself, sit at the counter.
Dave's got to go pray to Greasy Jesus. Go take a kneel. Let's go kneel at Greasy Jesus for a while.
Pay your respects. I love sitting at the counter. You can watch them cook. I love watching them cook, work that flat top. Oh, man. It's a great experience. It really is.
I've come around now. We've covered this, but I've come around now. I can get a hash brown with all the veggies in it that I like, and then a pecan waffle does me in.
You know what's crazy about Waffle House? Like, no fryers. Nothing there is deep fried, you know?
Griddle.
No fryer. Yeah, it's all flat top. Yeah. Mm. Well, I will say this.
They don't offer French fries with anything,
no,
right?
No. Hash browns, baby. You want potatoes, you're doing hash browns. The one thing that they really do need to kind of focus on, and traditionally they never served biscuits, but in the last 10, 15 years they started doing these dumb little flat top griddle biscuits, and I appreciate the effort, but, you know, go with your strengths, Waffle House.
Know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Love you for who you are.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to start doing subpar biscuits just because you're a Southern-based restaurant. We're fine. We're fine without them. I'd say that's probably the only flaw in their game is the biscuits and the garden salad. You know, you're not going to Waffle House for the salad, but, you know.
Let somebody get some roughage in if they want it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I told you about the snake, right? Did I tell you about the snake?
No, I saw the video. What's the story there?
Raj and I went out for Thai food in Bentonville. It was a Thai restaurant that was clearly used to be a 50s diner. So the decor was still pretty much the same, like the tin roof and the glass block booths. And
yeah.
Everything short of like the shaking hips, Elvis clock and, you know, hot rod flames on shit. But it was a Thai restaurant now. And there was a guy sitting there watching the TV they had on, waiting for a pickup order, I guess. But he, like, laughed real loud at certain points and then apologized to people and just a bit of a wild character. Seemed like he was on the kind of drugs that makes you not want food. But So he's wiling out a little bit. He's talking to staff. They seem all right with him. And another fellow comes in to pick up some food, and they immediately strike up a conversation, just right away.
Mm-hmm.
And within a couple minutes, the conversation is like, "Man, man, I love snakes too." Wow. Look at these fast friends at the Thai restaurant, 50s diner. I wonder if other countries celebrate like a bygone era in their restaurants.
Yeah, that's always been kind of odd to me, the 50s diner.
I mean, I guess it's when those restaurants kind of like the diner kind of came around, but to preserve that era. I don't know if there's like a East Berlin diner left. No, you get gruel. But so this guy's like, yeah, I like snakes too. All right. And they both just leave. And I didn't see him with any food. I'm like, ah, I'm going to do drugs. And we're eating. And the guy just comes back in. Not the guy who, like, the first guy who's just like, yeah, I like snakes too. Comes in. And he's got the pictures on my Instagram. He's got this however many feet long yellow python. Mm-hmm. When they both just roll back, and the employees are like, what the fuck? Little Thai lady, like, get out. And they're like, it's nice. And then it's nice. They just stayed. They just came in and were like, nah, because the place was closing. And then they just stopped putting up a fight about the guy bringing a snake into the Thai restaurant. And we were at the first booth by the door. And I was like, well, how about that? And the guy's like, you want to hold him? And I'm like, man, I don't know. But then I was okay. I wasn't drunk or anything. I was like, yeah, all right, I'll hold this python you two fucking tweakers just pulled out of a car. That means that
yeah, they had
that
a snake.
That means that snake is just in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you leave a dog in a car. Like with a little sign, like, don't worry, the air conditioning's on, and there's just a snake in a Camry.
Was it heavy?
There's a lot of meat on those things.
Yeah. I did the same thing years ago at the Los Feliz Street Fair one afternoon. Katie and I are just strolling through Hillhurst Avenue, and I don't know if this was like a lone individual or some sort of pet rescue, but next thing I know, this lady's handing me a giant yellow python. I put it around my neck, took a picture. It was pretty cool.
That's the move. Apparently the second guy that came in, that's his whole thing, is he just has that snake. And then people take pictures with it and give them $5 or something.
Ah.
I wasn't paying anybody. They put the snake on me. You came into my dining experience with the mm-hmm. snake.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the flower guy at the bar or something.
Mm-hmm.
But like, all right. And it seemed like a very chill snake, but that's mm-hmm. how snakes seem until yeah. they're not.
Yeah.
But then Raj was joking. He's like, the funniest part of that night is like, then those guys left. They got their food, and everybody's like, okay, snake guy's gone. And then Raj was joking. He's like, the funniest part is that you hear a guy behind the counter goes like, that's only like the half craziest thing that's ever happened in here. And it was just like a old white guy who apparently was managing the Thai restaurant. He's like, what's happening here? It's like, did you have a 50s diner and realize that people like Thai food more than shitty burgers? So you kind of still run the restaurant, but let all these Thai people cook Thai food in there?
That's a weird pivot.
I appreciated the diversity of the whole night, really.
Man, you ever seen a snake swallow something, you know, too big, like a baby deer? You ever seen those videos? That shit's crazy.
That's you after too many beers.
Yeah. There used to be a show years ago, about 20 years ago, there was a show, I think it was on Comedy Central, something called TV Funhouse.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Kind of like a weird sketch variety show, but like really weird sensibility. And I forgot the main premise of the sketch. But there
Robert
was one,
Smigel, right?
Yeah, Robert Smigel. Absolutely hilarious. Somebody, there was like a big snake. Somebody had a pet snake, and then it was like, all right, now we got to play the game. Like, whatever the snake's name was, we'll call him Bob. What did Bob have for dinner? And then it's a snake, but its midsection is in the shape of an old lady in a rocking chair. So the snake just swallowed the chair, the lady, the whole nine yards. It was so funny.
I guess that was a... I was reading somewhere about, like, Gary Larson, the guy who wrote The Far Side.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if there are any comics that didn't make it or if they were not approved by the newspaper. And I said one of them was a snake that went through the rungs of a baby's crib, and then there was just a bump in the snake, and then the snake's head was like out the other side of the baby's crib.
Oh no.
Like, oh. Yeah, they turned down that one.
Oh man, that's so bizarre. There was a thing a few years ago, a viral video going around, where a snake and an alligator were trying to eat each other, and I forgot who won, but I think the snake, though, not just snake, like what's the biggest snake, like a Burmese python, something like that. It tried to eat the alligator, and then it swallowed it, and then the alligator busted. They both died. It's like a murder suicide. Like the alligator busted through the snake's gut. And, oh man. Good stuff. I love all that weird shit.
I used to have a joke. Because was it like a Mobius strip? What's the snake eating its tail called?
I don't know.
I'm looking it up. Because it's got an actual term.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to have a joke about Ouroboros. There it is.
Oh, okay.
I used to have a joke, like, I've never seen an Ouroboros, but I did pick up some dog shit using a Panda Express bag once, so it's kind of the same thing.
That's good. Oh, man.
Bits, baby, bits.
Love those bits.
Yeah, I got to figure out a way to make this act a little livelier, a little more humane.
Oh, yeah? Is it that dark?
It just keeps weaving into it. So I got to keep, and I also got to get my energy back. I got to be, more well rested.
Well, I think that I think the coveralls are sweating you, draining all your energy.
Yeah, I mean we've got air conditioning in this club. It's just I just got to get back into comedy shape, doing an hour and keep. Yeah. It's that boxing thing. Like, all right, I got 10 minutes. Oof, hour wears you out trying to remember what order things are in. I still got notes up there right now.
Well, you know, people who don't do comedy may not realize, but it takes years to not only come up with an hour's worth of good material, but just to do the hour, like, you know, to know the different parts and know when to kind of turn it on. And, you know, there's really an art and a science to doing an hour of stand-up comedy and to take a year and a half off. Like, that's what I'm nervous about. Like, yeah. You know, I'm trying to get all my stuff together in the notebook before I take it on the stage. Like, we've talked about that before. Like, I do, or I used to write on stage, but now I'm fearful having this huge break. I don't think that that muscle's going to be toned at all. So I feel like I got to have everything on the paper, then everything in my brain before I even take it to a mic or anything, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's what I was liking. It's like, yeah, I still care about this enough to be scared of it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. I had an album come out a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I really didn't have that much new stuff either that was ready back then.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like, oh, I had this hour that nobody's heard yet anyway. It's like, oh, it's still stuff that was kind of on the album. So whatever. No excuses. No surrender, no retreat, Dave.
Oh man, I love the coveralls so much, dude.
I'm glad you appreciate them. I do enjoy them. I keep putting my hands in the pockets too much. It's too easy to get casual with the pockets, and then it's got the fake pockets, and that just goes right to my underpants. I'm not wearing pants under those things.
Mm-hmm. No.
So I'd be like, "Oh, look out, pervert time."
Maybe I don't want to bite your thing there, but maybe do something similar. I've been wanting to do the whole tracksuit thing, just in general. Maybe I'll get a tracksuit and wear it on stage.
I got into tracksuits, very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been wanting. Katie got me the pants. I got some cool black Adidas track pants, and she couldn't find the shirt, the jacket big enough. So maybe eventually we'll find one that'll fit me, and I'll complete the set.
Spend a little money. Well, they were talking about the nudie suits the other day. Mm-hmm. We were talking about those, the bedazzled suits. I'm like, maybe I gotta get that done. I was like, yeah, I'll get that done. I don't know if I'll get I want to get chain stitch embroidery or something to the overall. I want to try and split the difference between Elvis and Steve Albini.
Yeah, he rocks the jumpsuits.
Yeah, I wanted to find that somewhere in the middle.
Man, that's funny you bring that up. I hadn't thought about this in years, but about 5 years ago, I was doing shows with Craig Ferguson and did a few tours with him. We've talked about that, but we did Nashville one day, and we were down on Broadway a few hours before the show, and he bought himself not the whole nudie suit, but he bought like the jacket with all the embroidery and everything, and he wanted to buy me one. He's like, "What? Well, I'm going to buy this. Let me buy you one. We'll both wear them at the show tonight." And I just felt guilty because I saw the price tag. It was like $400.
I can't imagine those be cheap.
Yeah, I said, "I can't let you buy me this, knowing that I'm only going to – I'll wear it. If you did buy it for me, I'd wear it tonight at the show, but I probably would never wear it again." And he was like, "No, just come on." And I wouldn't let him do it. But now I wish I would have just been like, "Yeah, go for it." That would have been a cool thing to have.
Yeah. Where did he buy it at?
Just one of those like cowboy stores right there on Broadway. Yeah. I think he bought a hat. He went all out. He went all out for it. But I was like, I mean, and it was cool. Like the jacket I was looking at, it was like black and it had like the gold, you know, rope embroidery, and then like a little like a lasso design, and you know, maybe like the sun and this, you know, moon or something. It had a bunch of crazy little detail to it, but I was like, oh man, I can't let you do it. Even though, I mean, he obviously could have afforded it, but I felt too guilty to let him do that. Wow. But now I should have. I wish I would have.
Got to jump on that free shit, dog.
Mm-hmm. Oh man.
Well, you want to talk about any ghouls and goblins?
We can. We could talk about some ghouls. I don't have any goblin talk, but I got some ghouls. I thought maybe we'd touch on this real quick. I know we're, you know, getting late in the show, but you know what else is new. Like we said before, we're recording on Saturday, so a few days away from this being relevant to you in real life. But Tuesday, you'll be in Memphis, and I thought, hey, let's do a little haunted Memphis talk. I was
thinking about the Elvis episode that we had done.
That was fun. I enjoyed researching all that silly shit. The craziest thing about that episode, the fact that a lot of people who went to the funeral. Several people who went to the funeral was like, yeah, that's not him in the casket. And that was one of the conspiracy things, was that they had like a wax, like a model, wax dummy. But yeah, a lot of people were like, yeah, that is not him in the casket. And that's bizarre. Talk about Simply Safe, S-I-M-P-L-I, Simply Safe. You know them, you love them. They're an award-winning home security system, so you know it's engineered with the latest technology you want to keep your family safe. But what really sets Simply Safe apart are its people, highly trained security experts who are always there for you when you need them most. These are people who truly care about keeping you safe. When an alarm goes off, a person who cares will be there with a phone call to make sure you're okay. When an emergency happens, a person who cares will be there by getting fire and police responders to your front door right away. Even if you're just having a problem setting up the system, a person who cares will be there with you for a friendly chat and a quick resolution. The bottom line, when you need them most, Simply Safe is there 24/7 with people who care and experts trained to not only keep you safe, but to make you feel safe. It's one of the many reasons U.S. News recently called Simply Safe the best home security of 2021. I use them. They're great, easy to set up, dependable, no fuss, no muss. To learn more about how Simply Safe can help protect you and your family, visit simplysafe.com/boogie today to customize your system and get a free home security camera. You also get a 60-day risk-free trial, so there's nothing to lose. That's simplysafe.com/boogie.
Hey, do you miss traveling with your besties like in Girls Trip? Do you miss going to huge family gatherings like in Soul Food? Do you miss meeting the parents like in Get Out? Well, actually, no one misses that. But you can still do all of these things with me, Desmond Thorne, on my podcast, Adventures in Black Cinema. Each week, I take you on a journey through a new black film, how it relates to the culture, and sometimes how the themes relate to my own life, so there's always a little tea and a slight bit of embarrassment. And of course, as a filmmaker myself and one of the blackest, film nerdiest film nerds like ever, you're always in good hands. Adventures in Black Cinema with Desmond Thorne, executive produced by Amanda Seales. New episodes every Tuesday on all major podcast platforms.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Memphis, let's talk a few. There's a bunch of lists. Top 10 most. I've kind of taken several of these lists and mashed them together and found some interesting things, but in no particular order. Graceland. All right, let's speaking of Graceland, we covered this on that episode, but just a refresher. Several people have seen what they think is Elvis's ghost in an upstairs window looking down over the front yard. People have seen that. There's the other picture that's online where there's some little guest house in the back, and the door was open. He had a screen door and a regular door. The regular door was open. The screen door was closed, and there's a picture supposedly taken well after his death. That clearly looks like someone who looks like Elvis sitting in a chair staring out the door.
All right.
So, yeah, with all the crazy stuff, and plus, I guess, his untimely death. I mean, untimely in the sense
of— How old was he?
I think he was 42. I'm pretty sure he was 42. He died 2 weeks after I was born. He died, like, August, I want to say, like, 17th, 1977.
Okay.
But, yeah. So the fact that he died young, died in that house. So, if you believe in ghosts, you believe in that concept, it's not outside the realm of possibility.
We're older than Elvis. We made it longer than Elvis.
Yeah, made it longer than Elvis. So, so apparently his ghost has been seen floating around Graceland. Here's a kind of an ominous one. The Lorraine Motel. Lorraine Motel, right. Of course, the infamous site of the tragic assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. Tony Soprano said, "Can't we all get along like the Reverend Rodney King Jr.?" So Lorraine Motel, right there in Memphis, he was shot and killed on the balcony there. And I didn't realize this. Apparently, according to this one article, the motel, or at least his room, the room he was staying in, was left exactly how it was since 1968. And apparently his car is still in the parking lot. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's what I was driving through and had no idea. And so I'm like, oh, look at this old timey motel with the old car there. And didn't realize that was the hotel.
Yeah.
And I thought that was like that's the Civil Rights Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Or, a monument.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they say the room
as we record this on Juneteenth.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, Juneteenth. Have you noticed? I'm sad to admit, I never even heard of Juneteenth until about 3 or 4 years ago. So I'm glad. Yeah, it's great that that's
the much larger issue to talk about it, people.
Exactly.
Critical race theory and what should be taught in school. That's a whole other thing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't learn any of that in school.
Nope.
But yeah, congrats to everybody celebrating that. It's cool that that's a national holiday now. Going back to the Lorraine Motel, apparently his room, completely untouched. The bed sheets are still the same. Mm-hmm. Apparently there's still cigarette butts in the ashtray in the hotel rooms. That's nuts.
What do they do, like seal it off or something? I wonder how they handle things not like deteriorating.
Yeah, I don't know. And also, like, what's the point of that? Like, especially if you're not, like, I guess if you're going to treat it like a museum or whatever and people can go in the room and look at it, then, yeah, I get keeping everything the way it was. But, that just seems a little bizarre to not even change.
I'm sure. I'm going to read about that one.
Yeah. There's a place in Memphis called Voodoo Village, a little neighborhood. I don't know what part of town that's in, but a lot of people, obviously, when you think of voodoo, you associate New Orleans, but Memphis apparently had pretty strong voodoo culture back in the day, and this place called Voodoo Village, it's a little secluded community, and African voodoo, Native American spiritualism, even Freemasonic practices take place there in that area, And as you might expect, a lot of stories of some odd happenings in that neighborhood. No real evidence to speak of, but a lot of people, apparently a lot of accounts where people visiting that neighborhood report just an overwhelming sense of eeriness. So maybe check out Voodoo Village when you're in Memphis.
Is there a tomb in the basement of the Bass Pro Shops pyramid? That's what I will find out for the listeners.
Oh, my God.
Kyle got arrested at the Bass Pro Shops pyramid trying to break into a supply closet carrying a whip and holding a torch like Indiana Jones.
Oh, my God. That would be so funny. Who would be in the tomb of the Bass Pro Shop?
Hall of Fame fisherman Troy Johnston. I have no idea.
Oh, man. Let's see what else is on this. There's this place called the Woodruff Fontaine House. It's beautiful. I don't know if that's like antebellum. I think it might be an antebellum. I don't know my classic architecture. But I love that style of those.
Dave, you know, why not?
19th century architecture. I love all that shit. Anyway, the Woodruff Fontaine House, apparently one of the most haunted buildings in Memphis. And
19th century architecture. I love that shit.
Love all that frou-frou shit. The story there with
buttress.
Let's see here. What am I talking about? There we
buttress
go.
Is not a female butler.
The Woodruff Fontaine House. The backstory there is people see the spirit of this lady, Molly, who was the daughter of the owner, a guy named Amos Woodruff. Newlywed Molly and her husband, Egbert Wooldridge, they moved into the mansion with their parents, occupying the second floor. When tragedy struck in 1875, boy, this is a bummer. On the same day, she birthed a son, and then the son immediately died. Back in March of 1875, 2 months later, Molly's husband, I guess that'd be Egbert. The way this is written,
Egbert.
Egbert, yes, it rolls off the tongue. Her husband, Egbert, was injured in a boating accident. And the way this sentence is written, it says, 2 months later, her husband was injured in a boating accident and contracted pneumonia. Now, I don't know if those are two separate things or if they're related. Can you catch pneumonia from a physical injury? You stub your toe and now you got pneumonia?
I mean, I guess I'd extrapolate, like, was he boating in a cold lake and the boat got stuck or something? That needs more detail.
Yeah, yeah.
You're correct. That needs more detail.
They brought him home from the boating accident. He died a few days later from, quote, too much swamp water. He took on too much swamp water from the river. So he got that river water in his lungs or something.
So that's why a boating accident.
Okay.
Drowned a little bit.
Yeah, there we go. That makes sense now.
Old Egbert took on too much swamp water.
A lot of people have seen Molly sitting on her bed in the second floor bedroom. When she vanishes, there are often impressions left on the bedspread, indicating that she really was sitting there. Apparently, you can smell women's perfume wafting through the hallways of the house. Volunteers and guests have also interacted with the spirits of Mrs. Fontaine and her son, Elliot. Now, see, that's creepy. The son was literally, he made it one day, and people are interacting.
Yeah, what are you coming back as a ghost for? You don't know what life is about.
And, yeah, not only that, but how are you supposed to interact? Even if he's alive, a one-year-old, there's not a whole lot of interaction with a newborn.
He's a one-day-old.
Yeah, he's a one-day-old.
He don't even know what the world is.
But, yeah, apparently people have seen this poor little guy. So, yeah, there's the old Woodruff Fontaine House. Let's see what else we got here. The Orpheum Theater. Oh, this is pretty cool. Orpheum Theater, haunted by this little girl with pigtails who was actually killed outside the theater back in 1921. She was struck by
Debbie shit running around on me.
She was struck by a trolley in 1921. Ever since her death, she's apparently haunted the theater. Most often, she's seen spotted during performances. She's especially active wherever there are performances that are geared towards children. So that's a little children's play. She's going to show up and check out the entertainment. She became such a fixture at the theater that seat number C5 is never sold. They will not sell a ticket for C5. The theater has reserved it permanently for Mary. And aside from watching the performances, Mary has also been known to slam doors and flick the lights on and off. So I don't know what the significance of C5 is, that actual, if that's just, you know, symbolic of like, you know, this is her seat, or she actually sat there. But that would be neat to sit next to C5 and see if any, you know, see any weird stuff going on during a play or whatever. So that's
You put your jacket on it and then fly. Yeah, I'd want to sit and see if I could stoke a little action.
Yeah, yeah, that would be neat to sit right up close and see if you could detect any goings ons. What else we got here in Memphis? It's a place called, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing this, the Pontotoc Hotel, Pontotoc, Pontotoc, the Pontotoc Hotel. Right. Back in the 1920s. Very well-known bordello. These days, the building may appear to be boarded up and abandoned, but there's actually a family living on the first floor. So looking at a picture of it now, it just looks like an old, you know, early 1900s brick building, two stories. So apparently the second floor is off limits. A family, the same family's been living in the first floor for about 30 years. And
legally?
I guess. Yeah, I don't know what the deal there is. But they've tried to renovate that second floor many times, but to no avail because weird things keep happening that kind of put the kibosh on construction. They don't go into detail. I don't know if people are ghosts or stealing the scaffolding or what, but they're having a hard time doing some construction
there. These ghosts took all the copper out of the walls again.
Yeah. Let's see. The backstory here is pretty grisly. Apparently, the one-time manager, this place, like I said, used to be a bordello or a boarding house. But there was a manager who ran the boarding house back in the day. He was apparently a real sloppy drunk, and he would frequently arrive home late at night, creating all kind of disturbances and chaos, waking people up. Anyway, one morning... they don't say when, but one morning residents awoke to the smell of burnt hair drifting up from the basement. And upon further investigation, it was discovered that the manager was burnt to a crisp inside the boiler. And then the question is, was he drunk and fell in, or did someone get tired of his antics and push him in? So that's the old Pontotoc Hotel. I don't know if you saw them on Priceline.com before you booked your room at the... at the Redneck Pyramid, but
that one didn't come up. I might go back and look, see if they got some deals.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if I got any more interesting ones here. Here, let's do one more here.
Do one more.
It's a place called Ernstein and Hazel's. Looks like a bar restaurant. Also, a former brothel. Ernstein and Hazel's has a reputation.
Where weren't they fucking down there? Huh?
Exactly. Ernstein & Hazel's has a reputation for being one of the most haunted buildings, not just in the state of Tennessee, but the entire U.S. The building is home to a number of ghosts, even boasts its own haunted jukebox. Several customers have reported being touched in the bathrooms when no one else is around. Well, that's a whole other thing.
Right.
There have been multiple full-body apparitions seen wandering the building, and apparently there's video footage of this as well. A woman's face has also been seen in the window of the second floor bedroom when the room was known to be empty. The most famous tale of weird activity there is the haunted jukebox. Like I said, pretty much they say every day, almost every day, the same thing happens, that a customer will saddle up to the jukebox, and while he's looking for a song, it'll just start playing before he even puts any money in, and often reports say that it's the song that person was about to cue up starts playing. Now, that's bizarre.
And it's always Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, man. Yeah, the jukebox turns on and off randomly, even when it's not plugged in. Oh, this is interesting. Apparently, the haunted jukebox will eavesdrop on conversations going on around it and then play songs that seem to perfectly sum up said conversation.
I like this ghost DJ. I like that stuff.
Yeah, ghost
That's
DJ.
That's a good ghost.
Uh-huh. That's pretty rad.
I'm watching a tractor pull a trailer full of drunk ladies across the Korean Veterans Memorial Bridge. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is the monster truck one where you could sit in the back of a monster truck and take a tour around town.
Nice. All right, I'm back. Sorry about that, bud.
That's all right. Did we talk about monster trucks before? Where, like, some guy pulled off a front flip on a monster truck?
No. Where?
It's unrelated to everything we're talking about, except I was looking out the window at a monster truck tourist ride where he's sitting in the back. Some guy did a front flip with a monster truck.
How do you even do that? How would you do a front flip in any vehicle?
He, because now they can wheelie.
Mm-hmm.
And he managed to, like, wheelie. You got to look up the clip, but it was downright impressive.
Huh.
Like, wheelied into a bump or something where it flung the truck up, but he only hit it with the back wheels, so it kind of launched the truck, but also pushed the back end around to create a front flip. It was cool. It was cool as hell, man.
That does sound cool. I like a good monster truck. You ever been to a monster truck rally?
I haven't. I heard they're very loud.
It's a good time. Yeah, it is loud. But yeah, something real.
I think I would like to go. Yeah, I think I'd like to go.
There's something real, just primal. I mean, just, you know, we're all evolved and enlightened, but sometimes you just want to see a big, stupid truck.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me, man.
It's neat. Now, I would never drive a big, stupid truck. I don't like that attention. But I'll look at somebody else's
big,
stupid
truck. This is an arena sport.
Mm-hmm.
And they did cool stuff with them, stuff that I never thought possible. Just like skateboarding or bikes. Like, how far can they push this? Apparently very far.
Yeah.
Not to derail the ghost DJ talk, but.
No, that's all right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, what I was saying before the mailman interrupted. Yeah, that could be just, you know, we've talked about that before, just government spying on your smartphone. It could be a smart jukebox.
That is still, like, this thing bothers me too much.
Yeah.
You walk by a thing? Sure. We're just letting it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Whole other episode, though.
Yeah.
If we want to brush up on that.
So, yeah, maybe you can hit some of these spots when you're in Memphis this week. I know you won't hit this spot, but shout out to my favorite Memphis barbecue place, Central Barbecue. Man, that place is dope. Love Central Barbecue. There's another barbecue spot there called Charlie Vargas's Rendezvous, and it's the one that shows up on all the lists and all the TV shows, and boy, does it suck. So, sorry. Sorry, fans of Rendezvous. In their defense, it shows up on all these barbecue lists. I don't think they call themselves barbecue. I don't think it's on the sign or the name or anywhere because it's not barbecue. They're known for their ribs. Everybody, you got to go to Charlie Vargas's, get the ribs. And they're just grilled over charcoal. They're not smoked. There's no wood. There's no smoker. It's just, you know, charcoal.
Are they good ribs?
They're good ribs. They're okay, but they're lacking that smokiness that I'm looking for in a real smoked barbecue rib.
But it's a different style of rib. It's like a Tony Roma's kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, and like I said, I guess in their defense, they're like, hey, we're sorry, we're not calling ourselves barbecue. We're sorry that we show up on these lists. But yeah, I was pretty disappointed when I went to Rendezvous. But Central Barbecue, oh boy, they nail it. They know what they're doing there. Also,
I'll see if Rachel wants to get out to it, yeah.
Memphis is the home. It's where my beloved Gus's Fabulous Fried Chicken, that's where they started there in Memphis. And now they're all over the country.
So, okay.
Best fried chicken I've ever had, Gus's.
I think Hattie B's is making its way out now, too.
Probably, yeah. Hattie B's, I guess, started in Nashville.
Yeah, but I think they're popping up spots. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got one in Atlanta. Yeah, I'm starting to see them franchise a little bit, so that's cool. But yeah, a lot of good eats there in Memphis. Yeah, see if Rachel wants to get some. If she wants barbecue, I would recommend Central, and then of course fried chicken. You can't go wrong with Gus's, and there's all kind of great food there. But Memphis is a cool town. I like Memphis.
Yeah, we're gonna get at it, and then we'll be back through here after Memphis. We come back to Nashville to hang out for a few days and do more.
Oh, nice
stuff around here.
Yeah, make your way over to Santa's Pub. You'll have fun at Santa's Pub. They used to have live band classic country karaoke. You have a real band behind you. You just tell them what song you want to sing, and they'll play it, and oh, boy, that's fun.
Can they play Jeremy by Pearl Jam? They play the saddest song to a partying crowd.
Oh, man. Fuck. That's bizarre.
I was like, this. No, wait, okay.
When that song first came out, I was like in 10th grade, and it was a big hit, obviously. But I thought, the first several times I heard it, I thought he was singing, "Where Are We Smoking Today?" I was real dumb. I thought it was a song about cigarettes. Where Are We Smoking?
You change lyrics, make it a big old fun party tune.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That video, obviously, based on a true story of a guy who offed himself in class. We had at our rival high school that exact same thing happen during my high school. Yeah, like my junior or senior year. I went to Cherokee High School, and there was some poor dude at Etowah High School, which was our in-county rival. And I don't know if this was before that song or after. I don't know if he got the idea from the song or the video or if this happened right before. But, stood up in class one day, and bang, bang, just himself. Man, that'd be tough to for those people who witnessed that. That'd be a tough thing to get over.
I mean, if we're looking at it in degrees, it'd probably be a lot easier to get over that instead of, like, shooting everybody else in the school first.
Yeah, true, yeah.
Not to say that, you know, that's how you should look at it, but.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, end on a positive note.
Fun, lighthearted thing to end on.
So, buddy, so let's see. You got two more shows tonight in Nashville. As the listeners hearing this, they can't go because it's already happened. But
listeners hearing this, I'll be in Memphis tonight.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Come on down. Come on out. Where the hell am I? I don't even know where I'm at tonight. Get on out here, gang. Come on. Be a pal.
What else is on the agenda this week?
Nothing. Like I said, just that Bass Pro Shop Pyramid.
Yeah.
Graceland, whatever else we could squeeze in the 2 days that we'll be in Memphis. Back up to Nashville, probably just, I don't know, Rachel's talking about just trying to get like an Airbnb with a pool or something. Just kick back and see some fun bars and see a little nightlife, some live music maybe. And then I'm in Louisville Friday.
Nice.
And then I'm just back on the road Saturday. Right back on the road, just trucking. I got Fort Wayne on the 30th, so I got 525th, Louisville 30th. So I'm just going to be seeing if there's hopefully the heat wave subsides and maybe some places to bike ride somewhere around Indiana or what have you. I know might fly the flag about trying to put a show up somewhere.
Okay,
weird. If I'm feeling up to it, so just. Stay tuned to the Sochi Meads, and I might just be like, hey, what's going on in this town in the area? I know Ohio's right there. People have been asking about Ohio. Might be. I'm not sure yet. Don't have a plan, but might be.
Well, hell yeah, buddy.
Pop in over there. We'll see what happens.
Well, it sounds like you're having fun out there, man.
I am. I got to get my energy levels up. Mm-hmm. Got to take care of myself better.
Yeah. You're doing drink fine,
water.
Buddy.
Drink water. Take vitamins.
There you go. There you go, buddy.
What about you? What's going on? What's going on with old Dave? Just maxing, relaxing?
Just enjoying myself. Just having a... Oh, dude. Oh, dude. Let me tell you this real quick. I've talked about this before.
But did you fuck up more ribs?
No, I did the opposite, buddy. I did the opposite.
You fucked up a different kind of food?
Made some I've talked about this before, but I'm gonna say it again. I smoked some pork shoulder yesterday. Smoked about a 4-pound bone-in pork shoulder. But man, please, somebody try this. If you got a Traeger, if you got a smoker, get you a nice pork shoulder, and instead of worrying about the traditional barbecue rub with salt, pepper, garlic powder, cayenne, smoked paprika. Just get you a couple bottles of that Tajin Classico seasoning, the Mexican seasoning, and just use that as your rub. Just rub that sucker. Put a little olive oil or a little vegetable oil all over it so it, you know, has something to bind to, stick to. Then just a nice heavy application of that Tajin and smoke that bastard as you normally would, dude. This was nuts. I made a nice little burrito bowl last night. Made steamed some white rice in chicken broth. Then I had that that tahine covered pork shoulder, shredded that up, threw it on some rice, little cilantro, little white onion, little green onion, little sour cream, little salsa, little hot sauce. Oh,
nice.
Boy, it was nice. It was a flavor explosion. Like, we almost had to get the fire department out here. There was so much flavor going on. I mean, it was nuts. It was nuts. So somebody, please, if you smoke pork, try the Mexican style. Get you some tajin. You will not be disappointed. It was insane. Absolutely insane.
I got to do a quick shout to the dude. You know, you got that Jala Jala, the spicy jellies and jams?
Uh-huh, yeah.
That dude was out last night and gave me a spicy blackberry jam. He says that they're discontinuing that one. So,
oh, okay. Yeah, he said it's a whole box two ago.
Yeah, because he did mention, I'm like, oh, that's where that came from. I knew I had it, and it came from some of that. So he was at the show last night and gave me a final one where I'm looking for it now. I got it right in my bag around here. But yeah, the Jala Jala Black Widow Jelly, Blackberry Jalapeno Jelly. I do like this stuff, man. I use this stuff on make PB&Js, a little spicy PB&J. It works real well.
I think that's the dude. Either he's from there or that's where I met him, but Huntsville, Alabama. He came up to my show, and I had like my little merch table set up on a pool table.
Huntsville, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he must have brought me 20 different varieties of that stuff. I had it all set up on the merch table. It looked like I was selling it myself, but so people were trying to buy it, and they're like, is this for sale? I'm like, no, that's mine. You can buy a t-shirt, but you can't buy the spicy jelly. That's mine. But yeah, good dude. Thanks, dude. I forgot his name. You know his name? What's his name?
I forgot his name, too.
Yeah.
I
was, good guy.
I was in my cups last night, but I was like, oh, yeah, Jolly Jolly Jelly. I remember this stuff. I have it. I like it a lot.
Right on, man. Right. I miss that. I miss. I gotta start touring again just so I can get some treats from the
some free goodies, baby.
I always appreciative of that. So. Oh, boy.
Well, all right, man.
Well, buddy, have a great week in Tennessee. Enjoy your shows. Enjoy your time off. Go have some fun, buddy.
Hell yeah. I'm excited the missus is coming out, man.
That's great. That's great. It's been,
been a long time.
Yeah. If I'm being honest, that's the only thing I'm not looking forward to about touring is, you know, I'm pretty smitten with my gal, and I don't want to be without her. But that's just the business we're in. So good for you that she can come out and see you on the road.
How about it for thinking like, okay, now we're just going to be up in each other's shit for a year.
Yeah.
And it being like, that was nice. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I liked how it went.
Yeah, I did too. I know a lot of people didn't have as much luck, but yeah.
Nope.
We did well. We did well with the whole quarantine together. So
some people got divorced. You got engaged.
Yep. Still working on those details, by the way. I'll let you know about the wedding, but most definitely open bar. I think we figured that one out. It's like, oh yeah, open bar. So,
well, where though? If it's Vegas, how do you just pick a place with an open bar?
That's a good question. We'll figure it out.
Yeah,
but there's gonna be free booze one way or the other.
I do appreciate the sentiment though.
Yeah,
of an open bar.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
Well, you go cool off, man. Get your mind right for your shows.
Yeah, I got to get my head in the game.
And hopefully next week you'll be somewhere where we can do this all over again, buddy.
Yeah, girl, we'll talk about our stupid shit soon.
All right, man, you be safe out there.
You too, buddy.
The Boogie Monster.